Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let's follow up on last night's debate and the weekend of the Donald Trump Billy Bush Access Hollywood video. Before the debate, more than a dozen Senate Republicans had announced that they would no longer vote for Trump because of the misogynist content in which he boasted about sexual assault. House Speaker Paul Ryan canceled a joint campaign appearance with Trump on Saturday, and now Speaker Ryan has just announced that he will not defend Trump now or in the future. Instead, he will focus on keeping the House majority. This after a conference call between Ryan and other members of the House Republican Conference. Even Mike Pence was reported to be considering a withdrawal from the ticket because of the video, though he now says that those reports were incorrect. Let's talk to Shane Goldmacher from Politico, who's following all this. Shane, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for doing this today.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, quite a bit of news the last couple of days.
What's the Speaker Ryan news?
It is news that he's saying he's not going to defend him and he's not going to campaign with him. It's also not necessarily new. There has yet to be a public joint appearance with Paul Ryan and Donald Trump. He's defended him a little bit. He has endorsed him. He's not withdrawing his endorsement yet. But even after endorsing him, he criticized him pretty strongly, saying his comments about a judge's Mexican heritage was the textbook definition of a racist comment. So Paul Ryan has not exactly been the biggest booster of Donald Trump. That said, having the sitting Republican House Speaker refuse to campaign with the Republican nominee for president is just one more unprecedented thing in this crazy, crazy campaign.
And listeners, our phones are open for anything you want to say about this crazy, crazy campaign or ask Shane Goldmacher from Politico. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Anybody out there, you know I've asked this question about a dozen times in the last year or so. If you were a Trump supporter before this latest thing, are you still a Trump supporter today? This latest thing, of course, in this case, being that video. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What's the Mike Pence story, Shane?
Mike Pence today came out and defended Donald Trump on a couple of television interviews. But again, over the weekend, he was supposed to campaign for Trump in Wisconsin with Paul Ryan, and he pulled the plug on that. Again, this is pretty unprecedented, a candidate's running mate refusing to campaign for them. He seems to have lined up back behind him after the debate last night. There was, rumors of otherwise. But at this point, they're still a team, and frankly, that is cause for consternation among some of the Republicans who were hoping Trump would step aside in his sort of fevered dreams and Pence would take his place. At this point, Pence and Trump are fairly interchangeable in terms of their views. He's backing him up after all of these things. So, it's going to be a ticket, Donald Trump, Mike Pence on November 8th.
There was the disagreement, very unusual if it's ever happened before, explicit disagreement on the debate stage last night, not between Trump and Clinton, but between Trump and Pence over how militarily aggressive to get against the Syrian government and even against Russian forces if they're attacking U.S.-backed forces in Syria. And Trump just said, no, I disagree with my running mate on that. Syria and Iran and Russia are, in effect, the best allies we have against ISIS because they're all fighting ISIS in Syria, whether or not that's actually true. So did Pence comment on that when he went on TV today?
I'm not sure how much he spoke about that. He sort of made a passing reference that Martha Raddatz misrepresented his position. I don't think that's the case. After the vice presidential debate, I remember asking Kellyanne Conway, Trump's campaign manager, in the spin room about Pence's comments. He called Putin a small and bullying leader, and multiple reporters were asking her, does Mr. Trump agree with that? Over and over and over, and she wouldn't say yes. The more remarkable thing to me here is not that they disagreed, because it seemed clear for days that they were going to have a disagreement on this issue, but frankly that the Trump campaign didn't clean this up before the debate stage. They knew for 4 or 5 days that they were going to disagree with their vice president. They should probably put it out quietly versus having Donald Trump do it on national television.
Jim in the South Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. You know, I need to point something out about this. Donald Trump has said a lot of offensive things about a lot of people from the beginning of his campaign, Mexicans, immigrants, Muslims, very condescending toward African Americans. It should be noted that only when he says outrageous things about women do you get this kind of real heavy-duty across-the-board pushback. And ironically, it sort of points to the greater social power that feminism has generated for women while other groups still remain marginal in this whole discussion. I think that just needs to be pointed out as we talk about this.
Jim, thank you very much. Well, Shane, as a matter of political analysis, we certainly could ask the question that Jim is asking. You know the list of things of different groups of people that Trump has offended and the list of deplorable things that he has said. And, you know, it's the Gold Star family. He was implying they were Islamist radicals. The Mexicans are rapists. The Mexican judge. The disabled people. You know, we can just go down the list. Why do you and other things that he said about women in the past. Why do you think the reaction has been so strong to this video almost uniquely?
I mean, the short sort of most callous version is that there are more women voters than there are Muslim American voters, than there are Mexican American voters, than there are African American voters. But I also think that how this came out, which is in October in the last month, the fact that there is a video of it, a tape, you can see Trump, and the fact that this is sort of a last-minute release, and the sort of the crudeness of his comments, and the fact that, you know, even the vice president said that he's describing sexual assault. That's the way that Anderson Cooper presented it. You know, and he's describing his own personal behavior, you know, creates sort of a perfect storm that this became such a big issue so quickly. But yes, certainly that, you know, Trump has made controversial comments about all manners of things for the last year and a half, and people have stood by him. You know, John McCain was sort of, you know, really aggressively attacked a year ago by Trump, saying he wasn't a war hero because he was captured. He still endorsed him. He didn't unendorse him until this recent tape. I think that was pretty telling.
Do you think that the Republicans who are now unendorsing Trump are only those who are in swing districts and they're afraid of the backlash among basically white swing female voters? And that accounts for the list that we're seeing of particular senators and particular House members who are up for re-election or other candidates who are running as Republicans for the first time. And a lot of Republicans in safe districts or safe states are not saying anything, and they're just, you know, maintaining their quiet support for Trump.
The first wave of Republican defectors came from these swing districts, people who are up for re-election this fall, as well as Utah. The sort of Mormon community has been overwhelmingly against Trump. So the first wave was Utah Republicans and Mormons from the West and Republicans in safe districts. But that shifted on Saturday. You began to have Republicans from very conservative districts. One of the early ones was Congresswoman Martha Roby from Alabama. You know, she's in a district that Donald Trump won. She's has no concerns really over her reelection, and yet she came out early, and many, many others followed. So the first wave are those Republicans you're describing. But the problem for Trump really is that it's not just confined to them. The number three Republican in the Senate came out against him. The Speaker, again, told his members, you basically gave free rein to come out against him. This is just, you know, there's no past that you can look at and say, oh, well, this is how this works, because it hasn't happened before.
You know, it's not every day we get a call from Tehran. So since Ali in Tehran is calling in, let's take the call. Ali, you're on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Yes, good morning or good afternoon. I'm calling from Tehran. I, like many of Iranian people, watch the news, and particularly I woke up around 4:30 a.m. and watch the news. And just I want to tell you and all of your listeners that many ordinary Iranian people compare Ahmadinejad, the previous president of Iran, with Donald Trump. Actually, there are some jokes that I heard through the media. They said, oh, just listen to the debate between American Ahmadinejad and Hillary Clinton. And that I just called to tell you.
Huh. So was the debate on TV there?
Yes, actually, a lot of Iranian people have access to kind of satellite to CNN and BBC International. And even BBC Persia directly kind of translating the debate as it was coming to the air.
Ali, thank you very much. Please call us again. Well, Ahmadinejad, do you think Trump has ever said, hey, Ahmadinejad, at least he was a strong leader, like he says about Putin?
I don't think he said that, but I do think that there were some comparisons to foreign strongmen last night with Trump saying if he were to win, his opponent would go to jail.
Actually, Ali, are you still there? Ali, are you still there? Oh, I just thought now to follow up with him on the kind of positive thing that Trump said about Iran's role in fighting ISIS in Syria. But too late. I wonder how people in Iran reacted to Trump sort of defending Iran, of all things, last night in that debate. All right, let's get Jeffrey in Maplewood in then. Hi, Jeffrey, you're on WNYC.
Hi, I just wanted to comment about the fact that Trump is characterizing his taped comments as, oh, just locker room talk. You know, it's like between the good old boys, you know, slap on the back, hey, I raped somebody. I think it's such a misogynistic, it makes it even more misogynistic to have him say, it's just locker room talk. Get any group of athletes together in the locker room. You know, do they talk about how they raped somebody or how they fondled somebody's private parts? Or and to have it just give coverage to him for making a blanket statement like that, I think it's
right.
Just so outrageous.
And actually, a lot of men have been coming forward and saying, no, there's all kinds of locker room talk, and some of it gets pretty crude, but not like that. Boasting that you committed what is in effect sexual assault. So how's that playing on the day after the debate, Shane Goldmacher from Politico? And we just have a minute left, but Trump did deny when he was asked explicitly by Anderson Cooper if he actually did those things or if he made it up when he was talking to Billy Bush on the bus in 2005. And he said he made it up. Are women coming forward? Are other claims recorded at different times by Trump being released? I have a feeling there are some more recorded shoes to drop. Anything new this morning?
Not yet this morning, but I do think that that's what people are waiting for. Again, there are women who have already accused Trump of similar behavior in the past. One person told Erin Burnett of CNN over the weekend that in hearing the tape, it was a flashback moment because she had been given a tic-tac by Mr. Trump before he forcibly kissed her. You know, this person hasn't come out publicly with their name attached to it, but, you know, the others have. Yes, Trump said last night, no, I have not engaged in this behavior. But, you know, that denial really does put him in a place where in the next 29 days, it's more likely than not that at least one more person is going to come out and say, in fact, he did.
And one footnote, Billy Bush was suspended by NBC from his Today Show hosting role. I don't know if that's just for today or if that's for an indefinite period of time. Do you know?
I believe I saw last night that it was 2 days, but I only saw that flash across my screen, so I'm not sure the length of his suspension.
And we will talk more on tomorrow's show about the pretty disgusting role played by Billy Bush in that video that's not getting so much attention yet because Trump is running for president and he's not. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. Shane Goldmacher, Politico correspondent, thanks a lot.
Thank you.